The epistle that was appointed to be read for the feast of the Assumption of Our Lady is taken from the book of Judith. The Lord hath blessed thee by his power, because by thee he hath brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who hath directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies, because he hath so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouths of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life, by reason of the distress and tribulations of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem, thou art the joy of Israel, thou art the honor of our people. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 1, verses 41 through 50. At that time, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In all of the history of the Church, in the hearts of all the faithful, the Blessed Virgin Mary always has her place beside her Divine Son. In the name of Our Lady, Mary lives on the lips of those who call upon the very name of God, Jesus Christ. The Mother and the Son are so bound together by the most tender ties of affection, so much so that their two hearts are one. And in the fullness of time, when God visited his people, he came to them in the womb of the Blessed Mother. He was carried as an infant in her arms. He grew into youth and to manhood under her fostering influence and motherhood. As a public teacher and a worker of miracles, though his life seemed to be separate from hers, Our Lady always had an ever large part and influence in that life. No one ever knew, no one ever can know as she knows, the inmost recesses of the Sacred Heart. For others are but friends. Our Lady is his mother. His Sacred Heart and body were formed from the very blood of her Immaculate Heart. As it was in life, so it was in death. She shared the bitterness of his last great agony. And when her son's heart burst upon Calvary, the sword that hung over her life from the prophecy of Simeon was plunged deeply into her own heart. She saw him lying dead upon her knees. Her tears fell upon his dead white face. And then 40 days later, she in return, that look of love from the same adorable countenance was seen as he was ascended into heaven. But her place has always been beside our Lord. Down through the centuries, prophets and visions, the prophecies of a woman and her son, the virtues, the vision of prophecy made by God himself, sent a great thrill of hope to mankind, because God himself said after the sin of Adam, he said to Satan, One shall be born of a woman, and she shall crush thy head. The vision grew clearer and clearer as centuries went by, and then Isaiah said, A virgin shall conceive, and she shall bear a son. And the vision of prophecy, visioned to be brightened into perfect beauty, when she who was full of grace said to God himself at the visit of angel Gabriel, Be it done unto me according to thy word. And at that very moment, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And Mary and Son were bound together for all eternity. Binding of these two together by so inseparable a tie, from the very moment to this very day, one cannot think of our Lord without thinking of his Blessed Mother. The true followers of our Lord, the one reason sufficient for devotion to Our Lady, is that from her we learn about our Lord. Out of the 33 years that our blessed Lord spent in this world, the evangelists, the writers of the Gospels, speak about 3 of those years in detailed account. These 3 years were full of public ministry, years full of wonder, full of teaching, and above all, example for us. But if we really consider it, it is precisely the quiet years of Nazareth, the obscurity in the holy house of Nazareth, that the great majority of men should take a lesson. It is in its lowliness, its obscurity, its poverty. It was a life which the vast multitude of human homes will live. Quiet, uneventful lives, brightened by ordinary joys, even that this sad world is the natural birthright of hearts, and of course lives that are checkered by the ordinary sorrows that come to every home. It's here in the kindly charities, the unobtrusive virtues of family members. The vast majority of men should make special note. How well, how eloquently, and what sublime simplicity the lesson of the house of Nazareth gives to us. If we simply lift the veil that the evangelists have put upon the life of Nazareth, we can see, we can dream, we can picture, we can faintly imagine the beautiful simplicity of life in that holy house. The pens of the evangelists have failed to bring it to our mind, telling in detail how our Lord grew in wisdom, in age, and grace with God and men. And yet, there is a place that we can learn about this holy house and this holy life, for it is in the very heart of Our Lady. When our Lord came back from being found in the temple at the age of 12, the evangelists tell us the last thing about His life for those 30 years. And it says, "And Mary kept all these words in her heart." That's how we learn about our Lord. It's precisely on this account the Holy Mother of the Church is so solicitous that we learn of Our Lady in order to learn of our Lord. That's why we have all the feast days throughout the year in honor of Our Lady. But today we celebrate Our Lady assumed into heaven, which is the very culmination of all of her other feasts. Her life was from beginning to end a life of obscurity. Her youth was buried in the silence of the temple. No one noticed her but God. And yet the entire world knows today who the Blessed Mother is. We can imagine what Our Lady's life was like. How that sort of Simeon was hanging continually over her head, the sort of sorrow. Could she have ever kissed the forehead of her little child without thinking of the crown of thorns? Could she not see the beautiful hands of her little child as they worked in the shop and seeing the imprint of the nails that fastened him to Calvary? Through her whole life, that is its simplicity, its holiness, its obscurity, fell the shadow of the cross. And so it is in our life. We have the shadow of the cross. And yet we know that God sends the cross to those whom He loves. Whom does God love best? He loves His Son. And He put His Son on a cross for us. And who does He love next the best? He loves the mother of His Son. And it is the Blessed Mother who is known as Our Lady of Sorrows. It is the law, the absolute unavoidable law. There's no exception. Our Lord said, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me." My dear faithful, we have an advocate in heaven assumed today at the right hand of her Son. She is there as a good mother, extending her motherly hand to us to soothe our misfortunes. She opens her heart, which is broken immeasurably by mankind, and she opens it to sympathize and console us. Our Blessed Mother, assumed to her throne in heaven, is there to plead and pray on our behalf, and what a mother she is. So today on this Feast of the Assumption, implore her assistance. Excuse me. Pray daily her rosary. Say three Hail Marys every day without fail, and besides the rosary, the three Hail Marys in her honor to increase your devotion to her. Earthly mothers may forget their sons, but Mary can no more forget us than she forget her own divine Son. Honor this Queen, this Mother, this Holy Maid of Heaven, so that someday we too can be assumed into heaven, and there we can honor her as one of the saints. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.